KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Welcome, folks. Thanks for stopping by. We'll be taking a good gardening stroll shortly. You can give a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with any questions, comments, or opinions you may have. Every Saturday morning, we have been getting together, and we will get together as long as KMOX wants me to. I'm always on the cusp. I never know if they're going to push me off the edge. We can discuss your yard, your landscape, your garden, house plants, potting mixes, soil improvement, pruning, bugs, diseases, or whatever is going on in the outdoors or inside with your house plants. Please remember my words are to open opportunities. Afterwards, it's going to take effort on your part in this great marathon called gardening or growing plant material. It's never a sprint. Forget the sprints. Throw sprints out of your attitude when it comes to plant material. This is your show, and I appreciate you being there. So thanks to Matt. He's producing again today. This might be 4 or 5 weeks in a row. He's not sick of gardening yet. And Matt, you graduated college? Well, congratulations. So he's going to be who knows what after producing here. He may move through the whole system and become president of who knows what. Anyway, Mike Miller, that's me, host of the Garden Hotline since 1994. 5 gardening books I've written, 2 are available at various locations. And during the week, I do landscape consulting. If you'd like for me to come to your home and do a walk and talk, you can go to my website, www.mikemillerdesigns.com. The homepage is where my email address and phone number is. And that's where you can reach me, and we'll kind of get everything set up. And today I'm headed out to Wentzville off Highway Z, which is the first exit as you split off from 4064, all that other stuff. But anyway, today, Good Gardening Stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. I decided since it is Memorial Day weekend and we have the Soldiers Memorial right across the street from where KMOX is located, I thought I would take my Good Gardening Stroll around the Soldiers Memorial Military Museum. It occupies a full block. Wow. It's under renovation right now, and new management is being managed by the Missouri History Museum. And on the north side, it faces a park. When you look through the park, you're going to see the main branch of the public library, St. Louis City Public Library. And there's iconic huge statues on the north side, too. Winged horses, a warrior, a mother with a baby, some eagles, and these eagles are staring across this way where a partially built, I guess, forms for future steps because the old ones were removed. There's all kinds of piles of debris. There's all kinds of stacks of cut stone stairs. I think most of them are granite. On the west side of the Soldiers Memorial, another city block park fills that area. All kinds of oak trees and the lawns have been mowed very, very nicely. And on this west side, too, though, they're tunneling underneath the building. I don't know what they're going to do. Are they building a basement? I can't tell. So anyway, because there's a huge fence, they say if you go across this fence, there are on-site cameras and the police will immediately come and get you. So I said, okay, I won't do that. There's piles of all sorts of other things, too. There's rebar waits to be used. Stormwater intake said, we're ready as soon as the storms come. Many of the statues mimicked on the north side of the building or on the south side, the same ones were on the north side. There's an original flagpole that sits at the elevation it always was. A sign on the cyclone fence that surrounds this area reads, Soldiers Memorial, Military Museum, and Court of Honor. Projected reopening 2018 with a graphic illustration of how things will look. It really looks like it's going to be great. Some of the trees around the Soldiers Memorial have been preserved. They've got fencing surrounding them to keep the equipment and stuff like that from damaging them. And nearby, there's probably like a 30-plus inch trunk of a tree laying on its side. It's been cut up and probably, I don't know, become firewood or something. Who knows? Across Market Street, the Judicial Courts of Missouri stands. And on the east side, where Chestnut and 13th Street intersect, I don't know how that's going to work. I think that it's going to just, you know, Chestnut's going to stop right there and jump across and start on the other side of this brand new space. there's trees everywhere, and it's a really a calm contrast, all these parks that surround this Soldiers Memorial, to the organized chaos and massive renovation that's going on. I truly cannot wait to see the future, what will bring, what it'll bring to this historic building and surroundings. So that was the Good Gardening Stroll today. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Come back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we'll be taking a call in just a second. One thing, you know, I never listened to that guy, Mike Miller, on the Garden Hotline. So the other day, I just, by a whim, I have a type of heuchera coral bells called a Palace Purple. And it's under my Mugo pine, and it was being blocked by a Mugo pine branch. So I decided to just pop it up out of the ground and transplant it. So I did that, and guess what? It doesn't look so good. I should have listened to that guy on the Garden Hotline. Anyway, let's go to Overland and talk with Mary. Mary, how are you today?
I'm fine, and you, Mike?
Very good.
Mike, the reason I'm calling is I had talked to you maybe last fall because we were having terrible problems getting grass to grow on the slope of our backyard, mm-hmm. and the dog running around didn't help either.
Right.
So you told me different things to do, and you said one of them was to have the whole thing re-sodded. And that's what we did this spring, like in March, and it was perfect timing. It looked great. My problem is now that same slope is not, the grass isn't doing well because there's so many trees.
Right.
That are, is there anything I can do other than cutting down the tree to help that grass?
No, because even cutting down the tree, it will take multiple years before the root system of the tree dies, because it's not the shade factor. That's an important aspect, but more so it's the feeder roots of the tree that's impacting your lawn areas.
So, oh, that, okay, what can I do?
Just don't look at it.
Other than don't look at it, what can I do?
Basically, I mean, the only other option is to, you know, one would be to buy a 50-pound bag of grass seed, just go out there and throw it out every few days, and whatever germinates, it'll live for a little while and then die off anyway. Or, you know, convert the whole thing to a standard-type ground cover. But there is nothing that you can do, you know, to battle these trees. I mean, that's just, you know, we love the trees, we like the shade, but, you know, lawn and trees just don't go together. You just don't see lawn growing in the woods.
Thank you. You know, you're so right, and my husband will be eternally grateful for you saying that. Have a great day.
Great, thanks. And now let's jump from Overland out to Wentzville, where I'm actually headed for my appointment after the show and talk with Travis. Travis, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Very good.
Good. Hey, I just got two quick questions for you. I have a arborvitae tree that I planted about 5 years ago, and I put them to hide like an electrical box. And so I have a group of four of them. One of them on the end, at the top, it's browning up. Yeah, so I don't know if I should go ahead and trim that back before it spreads, because I've seen some of these arborvitaes, they'll go brown all the way down to the bottom.
Right.
And then my second question is I have a hydrangea on the side of my house, and I planted it. I got it from Priscilla's nursery. I planted it about 3 years ago, and every year, you know, it dies back down to the ground.
Sure.
And it leaves out every year, but I never get any blooms. And it's on the side, so it gets, you know, it gets afternoon shade, basically. So I'm thinking I might not, I don't know if it's getting enough sun. I don't know. I'll listen to you and your expertise.
Okay. Well, one thing with the arborvitae, you know, if the top is browning out, generally that means there's a problem with the root system more so than just, you know, if you cut it off, it's not necessarily a disease that's causing it. So when you see an arborvitae go, let's say brown, starting at the top or the bottom or starting from the side or anything else, it's usually related to the fact that the root system's not uptaking enough, you know, nutrients, moisture. So the needles, even though they're not technically needles on arborvitae, it, you know, is not making food, and that's why some of these areas are turning brown. Either that, or it's been some kind of physical damage from kind of some kind of storm or something, kind of bent or cracked or, you know, the top of it. So yeah, if you can get to it, go ahead and cut it off. But don't, you know, okay, don't expect a whole lot of change from the thing. It may stop the browning. It may be a physical thing, and you're just getting rid of the aesthetic problems. So with with a hydrangea, it depends upon, you know, what variety it is. Are you pruning it at all?
No, not at all. So, normally, it's got the stalks that, you know, they'll survive through they're not surviving, but I don't trim those off. They're still there after the winter and the spring. The stalks are still there, and okay. Then the leaves come back up.
Yeah,
so it dies back down to the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, the leaves are coming from the ground, so you can cut out anything that doesn't have any leaves on it. You can cut that out. Because that's never going to do anything for you. But, yeah, you might try to translocate it and give it a – because some of the varieties prefer more sun than other ones. So
I believe it's a midnight – I want to say it had the blue I don't know. I remember midnight.
Okay.
Variety, I guess.
Right. So if it may be, like the word is – hydrangeas in general don't like the alkalinity of being too close to a foundation because the leaching of the alkalinity from the concrete could be impacting it. But if the leaves look healthy, if the leaves are full size, then it's just a question of, variety as much as anything else. So,
oh, really? Okay.
I mean, you could try moving it to a new location. I certainly wouldn't do it this time of year. But I would wait until fall, until the other things start going dormant and move it at that time.
Okay. Yep, we'll give it one more year to see if it does anything. But every year it stays the same size. It just dies back down and leaps back out the next spring, and that's it.
Yeah, so. And maybe go to your favorite garden center and get some fertilizer for acid-loving plants and try fertilizing it and see if you can give it a little boost.
Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate it, Mike.
Yep, good luck with that. And there's so many mysteries out there. And certain varieties, hydrangeas have been... We must love them. It must be a genetic thing with us because there are so many out there. And some of them, even though technically they're hardy for this region, hardy doesn't mean necessarily anything more than surviving. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to flower or anything else. And it certainly could be location, but who knows? Mike lives in St. Louis. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good.
So I've heard you probably discussed this probably on multiple occasions, but I'm curious about bamboo, and don't throw spears at me yet. trying to think, I've heard different things about, it's very evasive, which I understand it is, but if it's like in a walled off section, with the blocks, landscaping blocks, how deep will the roots go to kind of find some new places to come up?
Well,
how long does that usually take?
Depends. Are you talking about something that hasn't been planted yet?
Correct.
Okay. Let me tell you a quick story. Botanical Garden, when I was working there, Japanese festival coming, I dug up a couple pieces of the bamboo root because this was Golden Groove bamboo. This is the one that's extremely invasive. I took it to my parents' house in Ellisville and planted it in the far backyard. And for the first couple of years, there wasn't too much going on. But after about 2 or 3 years, then sprigs started coming up everywhere. It was sending runners all over the place. Now, I know your situation is a little bit different, but you have to just be careful with this stuff. If we're talking, there are various types of bamboos. If we're talking about the Golden Groove bamboo, which is very, very invasive. It can actually push in between, these blocks that you have there. It can hit the blocks and go down and come up underneath. I don't know how big the retaining wall is, how high it is, or anything else. But just you have to be really very cautious with using it, or else just don't care, and it's going to potentially run all over the place.
Right. So the Golden Groove, is that groove? Is it groove or grove?
Groove.
Groove, okay.
Yeah.
So is that like, if you go to a garden center or something like that, is that what they're carrying, or is you have to just stay away from that particular one?
It depends upon some garden centers will carry clump varieties of bamboo. So in other words, they get bigger, but they don't send runners underneath the ground. Like at my parents' house, they were getting sprigs of bamboo coming up 8 to 10 feet away from the original, the planting area where the canes were from, the previous couple years of growth. So it comes up all over the place.
So, go ahead.
Oh, just make sure that if you don't mind the invasiveness, just understand it's going to happen. But once it starts happening, to get rid of it is very, very difficult, other than like using an herbicide on it.
Right. But are they all that way, or just Golden Groove is the worst?
Golden Groove is biggest. It's going to get like 8 to 10 feet high, plus, sometimes to the height of the lowest line on power lines, that kind of stuff. And that's the worst one. There's shorter ones that kind of grow like a ground cover that are invasive that way too. But there are clump varieties. So wherever you see it, I would ask them what variety this is, and is this an invasive variety?
Okay. Well, great. Thanks.
Yeah, because, I mean, it could cause you great harm. Yeah, I mean, it could just cause you grief. But if, like I say, if you don't care, my parents had a huge backyard. I didn't think it would matter. My father hated it, but my mother loved it because the birds just, I mean, they were thrilled with it. So, Right. Anyway. Good luck.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mike Miller, KMWatch Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. And if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Matt will answer your call, and all you need to do is give him your name and where you're calling from, and that's pretty much it. Let's go to Jerry's yard, and Jerry lives in Florissant. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Mike. I got a couple of questions. The irises and the daffodils, the flowers are gone. Can I replant the bulbs right now in a different area?
So the foliage is brown?
Half and half.
Okay, the bulbs you could probably dig up. So the daffodils, yes. The iris, no. Wait until August. Wait until later in the season, you know, to do the iris.
Okay.
And if you have any fans, you know, in other words, blades of iris that didn't flower, then you could just discard those.
Mm-hmm. And can I still take out about 25% of my burning bush, or is it too late?
It's getting pretty late because the intensity of the sun. All that new growth that came out, it's, you know, it sort of like became mature, got used to the intense sun, and it sort of shadowed the leaves that were lower down on the stems. You cut off all that end stuff, even though it's new growth, and the, what would be exposed now are leaves, you know, historically they've been in the full sun. You may get some sunburn on them.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right.
And now let's go to Nancy in Manchester. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Mike. I have a question about a couple of buckthorn I have. They're about 9 foot tall, and I just noticed that I've got some little white, really sticky blobs on them. Can you tell me what it is and how I can take care of it?
It's a little tough to tell, but if it's sticky, then it's some kind of insect that's actually feeding. So in other words,
okay.
What it is they, it could be an aphid, it could be scale, it could be a couple different things. My guess is it might be scale, but it's still going to make it sticky. So you can get, if it is scale, you know, take a little sample to your favorite garden center and find out exactly what it is. Because if it's aphids, you can basically just use, they're usually not white, but they're all kinds of different colors like pale green and things like that.
Uh-huh.
But if it's scale, then you're going to have to get a lightweight summer horticultural oil and spray it on it, and that will suffocate the scale. If it's aphids, then just get like an insecticidal soap and then spray it on it. But fine.
Oh, okay.
It sounds more like scale.
I would be able to tell which one it would be.
Yeah, it's probably, my guess is more like scale than it is aphids.
Okay, thanks a whole lot for your help.
Yep, and make sure you don't get the dormant oil. You want to get the summer weight sure fine horticultural oil to do the spraying. And for anybody, if you're doing any kind of application of anything, read the label. Look out for those precautionary things about spraying, temperature-wise, and all that other stuff to really take advantage of it. So let's go to St. Charles and see what's going on in Kevin's yard. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Mike. I had a question for you. I'm in my backyard. I've got some drainage that on the really heavy rains, it's coming up against the house. And so I was wanting to put in a landscape, kind of a hosta bed along the back. And I'm wondering, would it be good to put plastic down before I put any dirt and kind of have it angled so it's up against the foundation and then angle it so that it kind of keeps the water from coming all the way to the foundation?
No, I would not use plastic under any circumstances in the outdoors. It can cause some real bacteria problems in the soil, and it can cause, even with tough plants like hosta, it can be a real nightmare. Now, you could try some landscape fabric, which, you know, lets air in and out and all that other stuff, but plastic stay away from entirely.
Okay, and I wasn't sure if I needed anything, just because I'm going to put this about three foot away from the house.
Okay.
And I was going to backfill that with dirt, and then probably use some Missouri gravel on top of it for drainage.
Yeah, put the gravel on the bottom as opposed to the top. Make sure that you get a good blend. Don't just get some kind of, I don't want to say farm topsoil, but get something that's going to have some quality to it. Because you don't know if you're not getting, let's say, topsoil or a topsoil blend from a company that sells them specifically, you may be dumping topsoil in there that could be full of who knows what kind of weeds and everything else.
Okay, but so go with a rock base, though, on the bottom also, just for...
Yeah, on the bottom, don't use pea gravel or something like that. Use, there's something called big rock. It's kind of like a Merrimack River rock. Use bigger rock on the bottom.
I wasn't sure go with like 1 inch dirty or something like that.
Yeah, a little bit bigger than that even on the very bottom. If it's going to be you said it was going to be 3 feet high?
3 feet wide and probably about a foot and a half to 2 foot tall.
Okay, so if it's 2 feet tall, make the bottom where you're putting the rock in, make it about 6 inches or so. And then before you put the rock in, make sure you dig up that soil that you're going to lay the rock on. So in other words, don't just build a wall and then start putting stuff on top of it. You want to make sure that if the roots probably won't penetrate that deep, but you want to make sure the water can percolate all the way down through the rock into the existing soil. Sometimes if we leave that compacted clay soil as it is, it becomes a real hard pan, and then it causes, drainage problems even more.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. I was going to fill up where I was going to put the retaining wall, so I can till that whole area up and have that fresh.
Right,
so,
okay. Exactly. Perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yep, good luck, and don't get too hot if you're going to do it this weekend. It's pretty steamy. Now let's go from St. Charles back up to Florissant. Hi, Carol, how are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. I have a question. I have my front yard. I have a lot of shade. The trees have gotten bigger, so I don't have as much sun as I used to for my flower beds. And under this one tree, I'd like to put some shady flowers. And I was really thinking about hostas. But something else I wanted to find out, how much dirt or how close should you put the dirt to the tree? Because I was thinking about doing a layered bed around there, low and then a little high. How high up on the trunk can you go for putting the dirt?
You shouldn't really pile dirt on any kind of tree trunk at all. So in other words, if you want to have a raised bed, make it kind of like a bagel. So right where the trunk bark is, don't pile stuff up on it. Now, you can put a little bit of mulch there so cosmetically it can blend in with the rest of the bed. But leave a few inches away from the trunk, because we're finding that there's lots of problems when we start piling stuff up on trunks. It could lead to, bark rot and things along that line. Now, that's not going to happen immediately, but it could just lead to a slow decline of your tree just in general.
Okay, so instead of like you think, put the mulch or whatever, if I put like say a layer of rocks around the side of the tree and then put the dirt in front of those rocks,
right,
that would be okay.
Right, so just leave a few inches all the way around the tree trunk, so you don't pile up stuff on the trunk, except like I said, a thin layer of mulch.
Okay, all right, thank you very much.
Yep, and now let's go from Florissant out to Wentzville and see what's going on with Barb. Barb, how are you today?
Just real good so far. I wanted to question about a pine and a tree that is got white on it. It seems to be decaying some. Lost one limb already. Do you have any idea what this is, or do I need to have an arborist out?
Well, are you just talking about on the bark, or are you talking about on the needles?
On the bark.
So the white on the bark, that may be just a lichen. That might not be anything that's problematic.
Well, I lost one limb already turned brown.
Yeah, but... go ahead.
Is that okay on it? I mean, it looks like it's decayed and starting to decay in places on the base of the tree. It's probably 6 inches in diameter.
Yeah, something like that is more problematic than white stuff on the branches. So you probably, if this tree is serious, now losing individual branches, if this is a lower branch and the branches that are higher up in the tree are longer than the one that died off, that's just a sort of a natural process that all trees do. So in other words, if it's not getting a whole lot of sun because the branches above it are shadowing it, then consequently the lower branch is going to be compartmentalized and can be killed off by the tree itself.
Right. No, this isn't that thick. And the limb that I lost has got a lot of exposure. Had already turned brown and coming down. This is probably a 10-year-old pine at least. Maybe 8 feet tall.
Okay, so
I don't want to lose it.
Right. So I would have somebody come out and take a look at it. Pines have, you know, there's a disease that impact pines, all kinds of pines, Scotch, white, you know, Austrian. Mm-hmm. It's called anthracnose. And so it could be, you know, something like that. Usually if it's anthracnose, so it's going to kill your tree off pretty darn quickly, like within three or 4 months. But, I have some. If this tree is important to you, have somebody come out and take a look at it.
Okay. I didn't know if there was anything that could be sprayed on them.
Without knowing, you know, just that white stuff is probably not the problem. To me, it sounds like it's more related to the root system. If the tree's fully exposed to sunlight and everything else, and there's no larger trees close by that would be competing with it for nutrients or moisture or that kind of stuff.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mike.
Good luck with that. And, yeah, it's unfortunate, but, have somebody come out and take a look. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we're headed to South County. That's where Norman lives. Norman, how are you?
Hi. I have a 35-foot-high spruce tree, which is about 25 years old. Last year, I had some people come over and cut off the bottom of the limbs because it was getting too low. But they didn't close up the holes that the limbs came off of. I've got a tremendous amount of white stuff coming down the trunk. It's just ugly as sin. And it's all white, and I'm thinking it's sap. And furthermore, it looks like the inside of the tree looks like it's going to be dying. I just wonder if that tree is susceptible to disease, or is it because they didn't close up those limb cuts?
The rule of thumb anymore is to make a good clean cut. They should have left a stub of about a quarter to a half inch, you know, wherever it was attached to the trunk. That's all you do. Longer branches you cut off in sections. But the oozing of the sap and stuff like that, that's exactly what you're probably experiencing. That's what happens. There's no way to close up those holes. That days of old with the pruning sealers and all that stuff, way back when it had lead in it, it did help a little bit bacteria-wise, but your tree should be fine.
Okay, any way to get that white stuff off of the trunk?
No.
All right, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's sticky, so you can throw some dirt on it. It'll turn it brown, but no, there's nothing you can do.
I'll be darned. Thanks, Mike, very much.
And now let's go to Don, and Don is in Florissant. Don, how are you today?
Good, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling to see whether or not if peat moss can be added to your soil to richen it somewhat. I have a small flower bed, not too big, and I was given some peat moss. Instead of destroying it, I thought maybe I could enrichen it like you do compost.
Okay.
My next question isn't there a place that you had mentioned once before throughout the season in your show that you tell some of your listeners that where they can buy knockout roses at a very reasonable price? If so, I would like to know. You know, I'm interested in some small knockout roses about as high as your knee.
Yeah, with the knockout roses, you know, there's lots of places carry them because they are so very, very popular. Now, they're going to get big. You might buy them initially small. I don't know if they're going to be that small, but maybe you could find some, you know, probably, 2 feet high or, you know, 18 inches or so. But
yeah.
You just, I mean, they're all over the place. So I can't remember mentioning one specific place. Now, I did last year when I broadcast from the Stark Brothers up in Louisiana, Missouri. I bought some knockout roses, and those are the ones I have in pots myself. But other than that, now your other question was: now, are we talking about the brown peat moss that's really light and airy? You can certainly add that to your soil, but I wouldn't just add that by itself because it's not all that. It's a good soil amendment, but it's mainly it works better to change the soil pH. So in other words, make it a little bit more acidic. In and of itself, it's not really. It doesn't help with the drainage. It doesn't help with a lot of other stuff. You can mix it in with other things like compost or something along that line. But just putting peat moss in our existing clay soils is not really all that helpful.
I see. Okay, I thought maybe it was just as good as compost. I see. But
it's not quite the same. It's just,
All right, then. You sure think? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Enjoy the show.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. And also for everybody, I'm going to people's houses. I'm going to mention again, getting a soil test done is really crucial as far as finding out what the next step is as far as fertilizing or anything else. Because if you've been doing the same type of fertilizer for a long period of time, in the last two numbers, phosphorus and potassium, we're finding with soil testing, we're seeing extravagant levels, and that causes decline of plant material root systems, dehydration and things like that. So the University of Missouri, you can go to the MU Soil and Plant Testing Lab. Just go online and find that. There's also a place over in Belleville that does soil testing too, SGS, and that's a soil testing company. So get your soil test done and find out what's going on. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. I will be back after the news.